And they said that 90% of people responding to the survey said that the church exists to meet the needs of me and my family. We don't believe that at Life Church, and you all have responded to that. We are the church, and we don't exist for us. We are the church, and we exist to be a light to the world. Amen? Amen. And so you have been willing to do that and make that sort of paradigm shift over these last 14 months, and I'm very, very proud of you for that. You've been more than kind to us. You've followed us. One of the things about following a new leader is that you didn't share my past. You didn't know where I came from. You weren't on the journey with us for the last 19 years. But you've been more than kind to us, and you followed us as if we had been with you for a number of years. You didn't overly make us prove ourselves over these 14 months, but you very quickly, came alongside and were willing to make changes in order to see this church become a dynamic force in this city. You've listened as we made a case for why we should change our name from Bethesda to Life Church when we had a perfectly good name. There's nothing wrong with the word Bethesda. Bethesda is a great biblical name. It's a great place to go when you're in the Holy Land. I went to Bethesda. It's a place of healing, and Life Church is certainly a place of healing. But we also knew that while we knew that, that a lot of Knoxville didn't know that. A lot of people, when they hear Bethesda, they might think of Bethesda Naval Base or something like that, but they didn't know what we meant when we were saying that. So we wanted to have a name that communicated to this community, and so you've embraced Life Church, even though for so many years you had been associated with the name Bethesda. You've let us move the chairs around. You've let us change the music. You've let us bring a fresh vision that we are in existence to move people toward their highest potential as Christ followers. Life Church exists to move people toward their highest potential as Christ followers. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of church that's helping people to become everything that God created them to be. Amen? Amen. And so we're moving people. And so one of the things that you're going to get around here, don't settle down, because you're going to be encouraged to move when you're here, all right? We're excited about seeing lost people saved. We're excited about seeing saved people delivered. We're excited about seeing delivered people filled with the Spirit. We're excited about people that are filled with the Spirit being discipled. And we're excited about discipled people changing the world. Amen. So you're going to be encouraged to move. If you're at Life Church, it's not really a sitting place. We're not really a sitting church, you know, just a place to get comfortable and wait till Jesus comes and talk about how bad the world is. You know what I mean? If you come to this church, you're going to be encouraged to move. So we've made lots of changes, but. What we're getting ready to do now is bigger than moving chairs around. It's bigger than changing music styles. It's bigger than changing name, all of those kinds of things. In fact, this is not even, we've been doing a series on checkpoints that we finished last. This is not even a checkpoint. This is bigger than a checkpoint along the way. Now, I said to you, and I've been saying to you, that the promised land is not something that we achieve in this lifetime, that we're on our way to the celestial city, we're on our way to the promised land. But let me adjust what I said about that and say that's true, but there's a sense in which it's not true. And here's what I mean by that. There's kind of two schools of thought when it comes to the kingdom of God. When it comes to the kingdom of God, there are people that say the kingdom of God is in the future. That the kingdom of God is when we all get to heaven and there's no more crying and there's no more tears and there's no more pain and no more suffering. Then there's a group of people who say that the kingdom of God is now, that we can now experience all of that, and God wants us now, right now, you know, to experience the kingdom of God. And so there's even a movement called the Kingdom Now movement, you know. So there's sort of this little war in theological circles that says the kingdom is future or the kingdom is now. Well, a man by the name of Eldon Ladd came along and said, you're both right. It's both. He used the phrase already and not yet. It's already and it's not yet. The kingdom has already come. Some of the promises of God have been received now. Eternal life, in essence, begins now. And yet, there's cleanup work to do. And so what I'm saying to us is that the next thing that we're getting ready to enter, we are going to begin in a way that's bigger than we've done before. We're going to begin to enter into more of the promises of God and start conquering our promised land. You know what I'm saying? That we're not waiting for heaven and just sitting around preaching against the world and shouting at the darkness and talking about how bad they are. And we used to sing a song years ago called "Lately All I've Got Is Leaving on My Mind." You know, that this old house I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold air. I say I'm going to fix it when I get the time, but I don't have the time because all I got's leaving on my mind. That's a terrible song. Your house is falling apart and you're not going to do anything about it because all you're thinking about is leaving and going to heaven? No, what we're saying is we're going to begin experiencing right now some of what God has. There's people right now that are going to cross over from lost to found. There's people in Knoxville that desperately need the life that's going to emanate from Life Church. And so we're going to begin something that's bigger than a checkpoint along the way. It's more like a crossing. And so I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, and I'm calling this message today the very thing that I think we need next. We talk about all these things on the journey that we need, but let me just tell you what I think we need right now. Guts. How many know what guts is? Guts communicates better to me than courage. There's just some things that take guts. And we just sang a song, "Show Us Your Glory, Show Us Your Glory." I'm calling this message "No Guts, No Glory." We want God to show us His glory. But we'll not see the glory of God if we don't have guts. And so Joshua chapter 1 says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites, and I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, guts, because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors to give them.'" If you were to read that entire passage, "be strong and courageous" is repeated four times. They've now been through these. They've been through these tests. But you can go through all the tests and not be willing to enter into what God has for you. And so I want to talk to you this morning about guts. And the first thing that I want to talk to you about from this passage is the guts to prepare or the unprecedented. He said, get ready. The guts to prepare for the unprecedented. This was a group of people who had been slaves who now have to act like conquerors. These are people who are used to being told what to do, when to wake up, what they got to eat, everything to do, and now suddenly they're being challenged. Now I want you guys to go in and I want you to fight giants and I want you to take these cities and everything that God's promised you and every place you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you. They were told to act like conquerors. Now our past can mess us up. What I mean by that is our past tends to be how we define success. It's hard for us to see things that are bigger than our past. I'll be honest, one of the challenges about moving to Gresham Middle School for me has been this building in some way became a container for my dreams. And so when I was dreaming, I would be dreaming about, okay, now what can we do in this building? We can have another service. We can have a second service. But it was as if God said, I'm bigger than your container. I'm bigger than the limitations on your thinking. The slave mentality that you bring to this, I'm asking you now to leave because I'm getting ready to do something like you've never seen before. I got to tell you this morning, church, don't think that I'm trying to replicate Illinois on this church. I'm not here to try to see God do what he did when I pastored in Illinois and died. God did great things when I was in Illinois. But I am standing here postured to be a part of something like I've never been a part of before. Something that's unprecedented. Something I've not experienced before in my life. Something that, to be honest with you, there's kind of a number in my head, 400 to 500. That's how big our church got in Illinois. So if I ever got to 400 and 500, that might feel like success. Guess what? There's a lot more than 400 or 500 people that need Jesus right within a 5-mile radius of this church. Amen. Did you know that when we send out 60,000 mailers, do you know how far that's going to stretch? You might think 60,000, man, you're going to go all the way to Gatlinburg. No, that's not true. 60,000 people live within 6 miles of our church. Within 6 miles of where we're going to be is where the focus of our launch is going to be. And guess what? Half of those people don't go to church anywhere. And so I'm asking us to be a part of something that's unprecedented. God's speaking to these people and talking crazy stuff. Like every place that you set your foot. Now, my feet were limited when I was a slave. I couldn't go certain places and I couldn't go very far. In fact, I was chained. But God says, you got the chains off you now. So just start walking around, because every place that you walk, every place that you set your foot, I'm going to give you. If you've got the faith to walk there, I've got the faith to be there for you. And so he's saying, I want you to do something like you've never seen before. I want you to do something that's unprecedented. And so what we're doing here at Life Church, I never did this in Illinois before. I've never sent out mailers to invite people to church. We just tried to have good church and hope people would come. I called it supply side evangelism. We supply a good church. Hopefully you'll hear about it and come. And people do eventually. But we're doing something totally different this time. We're aggressively going after folks. We're getting on radio stations. We're sending out mailers. Darren's been doing Facebook ads since Thursday night. We had about 160 people that had liked our page before that. Since Thursday night and those ads, we're up now like 200 and some people have now liked our Facebook page. And everyone that likes our page now, I'm learning their name and I'm messaging them and I'm saying, hey, my name's Phil Nordstrom. I'm the pastor of Life Church and I'd love to invite you to come to our launch in a couple of weeks. But God's doing big stuff right now, something that's unprecedented. I was at this conference a couple weeks ago, and the pastor who's in Illinois now that followed me, he happened to be there, and there was a wonderful, powerful time with God and a time of prayer. And while we were praying, Rick McNeely, this pastor friend of mine, came over. He laid hands on my life, and he spoke over my life, and he said, whatever limitations there have been in your life before, I'm bringing them down now, says the Lord. The limitations are being busted through, that whatever walls and whatever numbers and whatever things it was, whatever your frailties and your insecurities are and what all those things are, God says, I want to do something amazing. Judy Bagwell's got a friend named Maureen who was down visiting her. And I just got to meet her, and she just sent me an email the other day. She says, I received a word of the Lord, and I believe it's for you as well. And it says, you are in a time of acceleration when many things can happen in a relatively short period of time. God wants to do something in a short time and do big things. I've been talking in our community, and when you talk about this stuff, it's like you're from Mars. So there's a guy who used to deliver the coffee here. You probably have met him, Judy, the guy that has the coffee maker, and he saw my car in, and he said, hey, you've had my coffee maker for a long time. Why don't you order some coffee from me, and da-da-da. And I said, well, we're only going to be here for a couple more weeks. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, we're going to Gresham Middle School. He just kind of went like that, you know. What do you think you're doing? You know, I just started casting vision to him. I said, well, they got 750 seats there, and we believe we're going to need them. And he's kind of looking around at me like, you're nuts. But the next thing that God's asking for us churches, we've got to have some guts. You know, the expression I hear now is man up. It's time to man up. It's time to woman up and say, you know what? God's going to do great things. We're putting ridiculous little statements on our mailers that are going out. We're going to give away T-shirts on that day to the first 300 people. What's that all about? We've had 100 twice since I've been here. On the mailer, we've got the audacity to say to the first 300, and we changed it to the first 300 because we were worried there might be more than that and we might not have enough T-shirts. So we're walking around saying ridiculous stuff right now. You know, usually when you expand, I've heard you try to expand your auditorium by a third. You expand it by more than a third, you know, it's going to look kind of empty in there if you expand it by more than a third. We're going from 100 chairs to 750 chairs, people. It's ridiculous. It's believing for God to, hey, I don't know about you guys, but I only got one life to live, and I want to see God do something in my day, on my watch, in our time. I'm not satisfied with hearing great stories elsewhere. Lord, while on others you're falling, don't pass us by. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Amen. Amen. So there's something about getting ready for the unprecedented. You know, it's like in 1774 when a guy named John Adams stood up and ridiculously said, I dream of a nation independent of England with 13 colonies. John Adams said that at a time when it was ridiculous to say so. And 2 years later, the United States of America was born. Or in 1789, when William Wilberforce stood before the British Parliament and eloquently cried out for the day when men and women would not be bought and sold as slaves. And for the next 18 years, his bill in Parliament was defeated, and it was not until 4 days before his death in 1833 that the law was passed that permanently abolished slavery. I don't know about you folks, but I want to do something in my time that says my life mattered, that it mattered that we were on the earth at this time, at this place. Amen. 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 I'm willing to give my life for a cause of moving people toward their highest potential at Christ, as Christ followers. To see people move, to see people grow in the Lord, to see lost people saved. What else you got to do? What else you got to do? What else do you have to do with your life? Seriously? Build your retirement account so you can go fishing in Gatlinburg? Are you serious? That's what your life is going to be about? That's what people are going to say about you when you're gone, that that's what you did? How about being part of the kingdom of God and crossing the Jordan River and seeing God do something unprecedented in our time? Everybody say to your neighbor, this is bigger than us. This is bigger than us. And so I read the passage that said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I almost misread it. Let me tell you what I heard when I read it. When I was studying the other day, I read, Morris, my servant, is dead. Moses, it sounds like it. Moses, my servant, Morris, my servant, is dead. We're going to experience, and then here's what he says after that. But there's some things that I promised Moses that you're going to get to experience. And I was talking to Judy the other day, and I just had to say, after reading this book, I said, did Morris dream some of these dreams? And she talked to me about Morris always believed that our church could grow and do great things in this city and all of that kind of stuff. I've talked to Paul Cowell, and I know Paul Cowell had great dreams for this church and has great dreams for this church. How many know that we are walking in other people's visions? We are walking in pastures that have been laid out before us. We are entering into some things that other great people only got to dream of. Morris, who faithfully led this church for all of these years. Can I just say something? There's people that might think, well, in order to be more loyal to Morris, I'm not going to get on board with what's going on because I'm a Morris guy. Can I just tell you something? I believe that Morris Bagwell has got two thumbs up right now saying, go, 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 go. That's good preaching anyway, whether you said amen or not. Amen. Amen, Pastor Phil. I agree with that. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, Judy Bagwell. Amen. Amen. Guts to prepare for the unprecedented, to give yourself to a cause that's greater than yourself. Morris, my servant. Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm going to be loyal to my predecessors. I hope that's what you've experienced for me this past year. I've honored Paul Cowell every chance I've had and honest Morris Bagwell every chance that I could. We sent up balloons and we had through a celebration. We named this fellowship area out here after him, and I'm going to do that. But let me just tell you something. If you want to honor Morris, go with God in the direction that God's taken this church. Amen. Amen. Be strong and courageous. And then in Joshua chapter 3, if you look at verse 5, he says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. This is huge. A lot of us want the things that we talked about. It would be great to see the seats filled. It would be great to see all those things kind of happen. But it takes guts to go further with God. Do we have the guts? I think one of the things that God's asking us right now, are you willing to pay the price for what we're talking about? I think sometimes when we talk about church growth, it degenerates into a conversation about technique. Sending out mailers and being friendly to people when they walk in the door and having great coffee and all that kind of stuff. And I believe in all of that. I think all of that kind of stuff is important. But let me tell you something. If you do all of those things and we don't get closer to God, none of the results will matter one bit, because things that are birthed in God have to be birthed. Things that are supernatural in God have to be birthed in a consecration to him. I know that this might not be the most exciting thing that you hear this morning, but let me tell you something. What we're getting ready to do starting next Sunday with 21 days of prayer is huge. I'm asking us for the 21 days preceding the launch that we pray for an hour a day, not for Aunt Ellen's toe and all of that, you know, and God cares about her toe. But I'm saying every day, I want us praying for that launch. Praying that God does something. God, do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. God, would you do something so amazing, Lord, that it's going to surprise us? Lord, would you do something, Lord, on that day and the days after that, God? Would you birth something in a day? So we're going to begin praying, and we have, let me just tell you something. One of the things, there's been a turn that I feel spiritually in this church, and I associate it with the birth of the Tuesday morning prayer meeting, where people are coming here on Tuesday mornings and praying for this church, and we're doing that on a weekly basis. When we get to the 21 days of prayer that's going to start next Sunday, I'm going to ask us to add something to the Tuesday morning prayer, and I know a lot of you can't be there because of work and everything, but we're going to start praying on Saturday. I'd like to do an hour prayer walk for those 3 weeks, an hour prayer walk from 9 to 10 at Gresham Middle School. That we would meet at Gresham Middle School, everyone that can, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and we're just going to walk around that place and walk around the building and pray about what God wants to do. And so in order to go further with God, in order to consecrate ourselves, it's going to take a greater prayer life. And then the scripture, what consecration means. Consecration means prayer is one of the meanings of it. Another is meditation on the Word of God. And so this is a reminder to us that if we've been out of the Word, it's time to get back into the Word. That we're into a daily feeding, reading plan. You know, church is not just about coming to be fed once a week. Try to do that with your natural body. Eat once a week. The goal is to teach us to be self-feeders, all right? So that during the week that we're taking the Scripture and that we're meditating on the Word. This is time, church, to get back into our daily reading plan. And then another thing that it's time for, church, is a time for repentance. Another meaning of consecration is repentance. Putting away those things that are hindering us. It could be things that are feeding your eyes that shouldn't be feeding your eyes. It might be pornography. It might be it might be an addiction that you developed. It might be an attitude that you need to bury once and for all. Maybe it's certain kinds of music that you've been listening to that have really been junk into your mind. Maybe it's books that you're reading that, if you're honest about it, have not been good for your soul. Whatever it is that we need to do, the scripture says, Joshua was saying to his people, whatever you need to put it away now, because we're expecting God to do great things when we cross, and amazing things. But in order to do that, if God's going to do amazing things tomorrow, we have to consecrate ourselves today. So repentance. And then finally, the last thing about consecration that's included in this word is good works. Consecrating means that I'm consecrating my body to serving the Lord. Serving, one of the things that's beautiful about this Gresham School thing is we got an opportunity to serve the school, to love the school. We're bringing school supplies for kids that don't have school supplies. Daniel's had his guys out there. The place looks absolutely beautiful. They're going to have the most beautiful school in town, Daniel. And I really think that property is gorgeous, but now it's been landscaped, and Daniel's had some of his men over there working, and it's beautiful. I mentioned on Wednesday night, people are going to be, in order to pull off this launch, let me just tell you something, we need all hands on deck. Now is not the time to sit there and say, well, I just don't have any gifts, I'm just going to sit here on Sunday. I mentioned to you, if somebody comes and asks you, can you usher, the right answer is, I'd love to. Can I work in children's ministry? I'd love to. Now, if you hate kids, say, well, I'd love to, but I hate kids, so I'd rather work in some other area. In other words, we don't want people doing things that they shouldn't be doing because they're totally not gifted in it. But this is not the time for anybody to sit. It's time for everybody to serve. We need all hands on deck to pull off this stuff. If God brings the kind of harvest that he could bring in that time, we're going to need all hands on deck. We're going to need people that are doing 2 and 3 jobs in some cases. And as God grows this thing and some of these people become new leaders in the church, the load will lighten on you. But when we're going in, let me just tell you something, when we're going across the Jordan, folks, we need everybody. Amen. Boy, that's good. If you went to the Church of the Highlands a few weeks ago, we saw an unbelievable friendly greeting team, passionate worship, generous people. We heard how they do stuff. We read their policies and all that. But if that's all you got, you missed it. You missed it. Did you know that during every service that's going on, there's a group of people that's praying during that service? I like when I go to conferences like that, I like to figure out the stuff they're not talking about. I want to know the real deal. I want to know what's going on behind the scenes. So I saw some guy that was directing some of the people from Church of the Highlands to come over to the side area to pray, and I just snuck over there and went in that room, and he was like, we've got people that are coming in here to pray for the service. I said, well, that's great. I said, would you pray for me? I'm a pastor in Knoxville, and we're just believing for God to do some unprecedented stuff here. And that little prayer team went after me like sick'em dog, and they just got on me, and they put their hands on my head. And you know, when you get regular church people get to pray for a preacher, man, they love that. And they just went after it, and just prayed God's anointing and fire down on me. Those people aren't friendly because they had a great training session. Those people are infused with the power of God, and they're so excited to see lost people that are coming to Jesus that that's what puts them on fire when they greet you. It's not some great training manual and all that kind of stuff. There was something intangible that you can't get at the best hotel in town. Something intangible that goes beyond good technique. It's the power of God. Pastor Hardwick at Christ Church in Nashville, God just did amazing things during his tenure there. He always told me, I give three guys the credit for everything that happened. These three guys prayed faithfully every week for this church, and people could go to these three guys anytime, and he just credited them with everything that was happening there. And finally, I want to talk to you about the guts to step into the miraculous. You see, there's something that's different about this water crossing and the Red Sea crossing. During the Red Sea crossing, they had just come out of Egypt, and they're like, what do we do? The Egyptians are behind us, and the Red Sea's in front of us. What are we going to do? And God said, calm down. Had Moses lift up his staff. The water parted. And they got to see the dry ground, and they got to walk through it. This time was a little bit different. They'd been through some checkpoints. And he said, I want you to do something different. I'm going to take off my shoes here for this illustration. But he said, this time, verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at the flood stage all during harvest. Okay, so this is not going to be a natural crossing. This isn't when the creek has dried up and you can walk through ankle deep. This is flood stage Jordan River. No bridges. It's going to take a miracle. Yet, as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground when all of Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. you know, it's nice to go into things that are already, when the table's already set for you, isn't it? When you can already see the dry path to walk on, it's easy to walk through the Red Sea. But without showing them a path through the Red Sea, he says, I want you to go and I want you to step in it. Step in it. I don't want you to just speak to it, but I want you to step in the water. I want you to step into the ridiculousness of the miraculous. You know, there's a lot of people that want to wait till they can already see that other people have safely made it over. They want to know that it's going to be all right. They, you know, but I'm asking you to go to Gresham Middle School with 80 people in an auditorium that'll seat 750, and I'm inviting you to step in it with me. I'm inviting you to step into the ridiculousness of the fact that the water is at flood tide and Moses doesn't have his hands up. In fact, he's not even around anymore. And I'm asking you just to step into the water. The Bible says that when they stepped in it, some of you are waiting for God to make the first move, and he's waiting for you to make the first move. He says, every place that you step, I'll give you. He didn't say, I'll give it to you and then step. He said, step and I'll give it to you. Take the first step. Step into the ridiculousness of the miraculousness. Step into the ridiculousness of, if I give my life to Jesus, I don't have any guarantees and I don't know exactly how it's going to work out. But he tells me that if you'll do that, your life's going to be greater than you ever dreamed it could be. But you got to step. You got to step. I'm asking us, church, to look foolish. Let me just tell you something. I'll be a fool for Christ, and then I'm going to ask you this. Whose fool are you? I'll step in it. What's the risk? The risk is going over there, and guess what? 80 people at Gresham Middle School. You know what happens if we do that? I'm going to talk to those empty seats. Start declaring. I don't expect that. I expect God's going to do great things. But let me tell you something. God has so clearly laid this path out for us that I'd be stupid not to step in it. You know the worst place in the world? You know the worst place in the world? It's the place God used to be. Trying to live on yesterday's blessings. You know, I used to sing and get so excited when Bill Gaither and all of that, and by the way, Bill Gaither still blesses me. Some of you are going to take me wrong and that's all that. But you know what? Some people are just going on the Bill Gaither reunion tour. I'm preaching the truth this morning. And you're going to try to live your lives in what Jesus used to do. You're gonna try to live your life on the good. You know, we need to get back to the good old days. You know, the good old days used to be new. The good old days used to be fresh. I sense an acceleration, not just in church but in culture. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Like when I was a kid, we just had telephones. You know what I mean? They're on the wall. You had telephones, and you had them like for your whole growing up time. Same kind of telephone. Now it's like, what's next? what can this phone do next?
Oh no, I still got the iPhone 4. The 5 takes better pictures.
You know what the buzz is now? I hear 6 is coming. iPhone 6, what's it going to do? It might cook lunch for me. I don't know. This new phone, we're living in a time of acceleration. It's a crazy time. It could be that God's getting ready to come back. I really don't know. It just feels like this just can't keep going on endlessly. It just feels like things are happening. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we did like horse and buggy for thousands of years, and then just the last 100 years we went to car and rocket, and now it's the big old car phones and then the cell phones and 4 or 5 da 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 da. If that's happening in the natural, doesn't it make sense that God would want to accelerate things in the supernatural? That we're in a time that God wants to do something fresh and something new and something alive and something that's going to be something that's not like our old phone, that we've always done it this way, and if we always do it the way that we've always done it, we'll always get what we've always gotten. But that God's got something fresh for us and something new for us. And I believe he's just inviting us to step in it. Step in it. Take that step.